episode of FKC Fantasy Hour. The Fat Kids are back. We're here to talk fantasy football. We have a chock full show of fun and excitement. It is semifinals week. I am your host. It's Mikey B. Or as my tagline underneath here, if you're watching on YouTube, what's Jordan Love got to do with it? We're joined by underneath me on the video is three semis to go, aka Craig. Ryan has muted himself. I can't actually unmute him because there it is. Oh, there he is. The 38 special.
Point 38 special.
Feel free to introduce that to the crowd.
Damn. It was an epic sweat last night that I had facing Teddy. Jumped out big Saturday night with Detroit just fucking putting the wood to him. I started peacocking a little. I did in the group chat put Teddy has left the chat. So I did kind of like finally get a jab in. And, you know, he texted me separately, said cook. And then he started off Sunday with Dolphins D getting them, I think it was like 38 or 34. I don't know what the fuck it was. Man, he was right back in it. And we faced, we had the Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown all tied up. Or I think I was up a point. It was 122 to 123, something like that. And it just went back and forth all fucking night. It was epic. Everybody had 5 for fucking 50, and I think AJ had 5 for 58, and I got the dub by 0.38, baby.
Amazing.
You get to win by 0.38, but Craig gets the last laugh as Drew Lock put on for his city and proceeded to lead a 2-minute drive, capped off by a Jackson Smith and Jigba touchdown to keep the Seattle Seahawks playoff hopes alive.
And that's what hurt the most as an Eagles fan, too. I was so torn last night. I mean, I wanted my fucking team to win. I thought they had it. And then God was like, you can't have them all, dude. You can't.
And that was
their playoff chances are super live now.
Yeah, that's huge. Huge win.
I was not really that enthused about Seattle winning. I mean, yeah, I'm a Seahawks fan. I love my team and all, but to be totally honest, they're not good enough to win on the road in the playoffs. There's not one city that they can go to on the road and win.
They won't make it there, and that is Tampa Bay.
No, if they're the 7, they're playing Philly or Dallas. You're not
a place that they could go on the road and win. It's called Tampa Bay, but there's no shot that you get there.
No, there's no shot. So, you know, what is the point? You're only going to get a higher draft pick. You're going to be picking now in the 20s as opposed to the teens. And Gino was a nice little stopgap for 2 years. He's not the future. Honestly, I'd love to see them get Kirk Cousins this offseason. But anyway, fantasy related, that kind of helped me with my win against my girlfriend, who ran her mouth, all weekend. And I just waited until the end, and pulled it off with a DK and Kenneth Walker getting me about 30 something points and gave me a nice dub. And now I'm in the semis in 3 leagues. Bye week passed and Vampire advanced and playing this guy right here this week in the Vampire League.
He's got a squad.
I know he's got a squad. It is me versus you because ESPN still won't put up the matchup until tomorrow.
Yeah.
Is it definitely me versus you?
Yes.
Okay, because who the other matchup?
The 2-3.
Did they reseed?
It was the 2-3. They no, it was the 2-6. I think Frank won. I don't think he reseeds. I don't think that league reseeds. I could be wrong.
Because I was what, the 5?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Because the 1 and the 2 had a bye. So I played the 4, which was another guy who beat me twice in a regular season.
Yeah, it was the same.
And I got my revenge. Jason,
you just beat him. Yeah.
Let's look real quick. I'm on the
Mike, I think you were the 1 seed, Mike. And you're playing him.
Yeah, you and Choncho, Choka, whatever the hell his name is.
Yeah.
That guy.
Jackson Smith and Choncho.
Yep.
I guess.
Playoff seeding tiebreaker? What the fuck? It does not really say if it's reseeded. It just says six playoff teams, 1 week of playoff matchups per round, playoff seeding tiebreaker, head-to-head record, and home field advantage, none.
So we won't know until tomorrow. I mean, chances are it should be me versus you.
But yeah, if he's the one and you're the five, the six didn't win.
I know, but the same thing in Manning's. Manning's didn't reseed.
The six beat the three. So in technically, if it reseeds, I should play Frank and he should play Chacho.
The six beat the three. So six I'm still, so it's still, I'm technically 3-4. I'm 3 for the remaining teams.
Technically, the way as you look on the Popeyes bracket, it has already moved you across to playing me and Frank playing Chacho.
Okay.
Not the Popeyes bracket.
Popeyes bracket. And currently, you are an 11.1 favorite. Your lineup currently, as it sits, Jake Browning, Puka Nacua, Stephon Diggs, Christian McCaffrey, Justin Jefferson, Kyren Williams, and Alvin Kamara. My roster, as of right now, without moving too many pieces around, Dakota Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, Josh Jacobs, Kenneth Walker III, Javonte Williams, Mike Evans, and Gus Edwards.
I think I have a guy named Tyreek Hill on my bench. I don't know. I might put him in my starting lineup. I'm not sure yet.
I hope he decides to not change his tampon this week and sit out another game with an ankle injury that he could have played through.
No, which is fine because listen to this. In Billy's league, I'm playing Rems.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Hold on. In Manning's league, I'm playing Connor. Mm-hmm. Both teams are starting Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. Mm. Let's go Saints defense.
That's fine. I have the Saints defense currently in my starting lineup against in his league.
So
contemplating starting Detroit's against Minnesota's though, because Nick Mullins is dog water. The dude's not good. So in Billy's league, I have Justin Herbert, who, of course, I lost a couple weeks ago with the hand injury.
Me too in Dynasty.
Welcome to the real world. I got stuck starting a quarterback nobody wanted. I got stuck starting a guy that nobody thought was going to be a quarterback in the NFL. Give me goddamn Joe Flacco, baby.
Well, your audio is so ahead of your video.
Oh, fuck. God damn it. You're off.
It's like watching a kung fu movie in the 70s.
So I had Joe Flacco
come here.
In that league and honestly was petrified that I wasn't going to fucking find a way to win the 4-5 matchup. Then James Cook decided to run all the fuck over Dallas.
Rough shot. There's a wrestling reference. Rough shot, if you will.
I had him. I had Kyren Williams, the T. Higgins catch and twirl at the pylon. That may be one of the most athletic plays I've ever seen a wide receiver make.
I got to get my coffee.
Okay. And then Joe Flacco finding a way to score three times in the second half in a game that he had no fucking right being in. After they played as bad as they did in the first half to get me 28 points, and this will tell you how crazy of a week last week was for the fantasy football gods. In the year of our Lord and Savior 2023, Joe Flacco outscored Patrick LeVon Mahomes.
Yeah.
In a game that both teams won.
One was 27 to something, and one was 17
and 27-17.
Yeah.
Currently, though, like I said, I play Craig in the Vampire League. I have his brother in the Venmo League. Professional of me. Then, of course, myself and Ryan, we will exchange pleasantries this week in the Dynasty League. That matchup on paper leans the way of the .38 special. His lineup currently: Jalen Hurts, CeeDee Lamb, Stephon Diggs, ETN, Jahmyr Gibbs, Travis Kelce, my cousin Nico Suave.
Nico.
Suave. Garrett Wilson, Jake Elliott, and the Green Bay defense. For yours truly, Big Dick Brock, Brock Purdy, Amon Ross, St. Brown, Michael Pittman, if he comes out of concussion protocol.
He's alive?
That hit was
crazy. Hospital ball.
Did you see it live?
Mm-hmm.
Oof. Like, you see it coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh my God, they're going to hit head on. Yeah. And holy fucking shit. I really thought he wasn't moving. But he got up, which was a good thing. But
I would say he bounced back quicker than I thought, too.
Fucking violent.
If I get in trouble at work, it's maybe because I yelled, oh, shit, as I saw the fucking...
Oh, here we go. Oh, he did. He gone.
I say that all the time.
I know.
And then I have Derrick Henry, Christian McCaffrey, currently right now Jake Ferguson in my tight end spot. That could become Dallas Goedert. We'll see about that. Odell Beckham Jr. in my flex spot, Olave, Evan McPherson, and currently Cleveland's defense against... Case Keenum, because it has been announced a little earlier today that it looks like CJ Stroud will not clear concussion protocol.
Jesus. Probably going to put up a 30 ball.
That must mean that it's pretty bad. Yeah. If you're getting the out distinction almost a week
on Tuesday. Fucking Tuesday.
I said this before I got past last week. The game that was going to dictate if I was able to beat you is going to be the last game of the night on Christmas night. It's going to be Baltimore versus San Francisco. If that game becomes an offensive shootout, I'm going to need Christian to probably do exactly what he did this week and hang a 40 ball to give me an opportunity. You know, that's just being, I need Brock. I need OBJ. I need McCaffrey, but I need the guys that are playing the early games to put up points to keep me within distance for that Monday night game. You know, we talked about this before we went on air. And anyone that's playing that league that's listening to this episode, I am going to call all you guys out on that, because the two guys sitting at the top of this screen are the only ones that really been making trades for the last two goddamn seasons. So
it's like I'm holding up a lot of weight.
It is.
Holy
shit. Great capital, baby. You know, we're going through the history of trades in the league. You know, I probably made the first big one in the Antonio Brown for Michael Thomas and draft picks. CTE, baby.
Did you get CTE with that trade or no?
No, he gave the CTE.
You win the CTE. That's why you got the extra round pick. Gotcha. That's a good trade.
Yeah, I knew the CTE was coming. I was like, let me get Brandon and Manning while they were still good and give them a little CTE. Steal a draft pick with it. You know, so, but it's one of those things where myself and Ryan have found a way through the trade market to get ourselves to this spot.
I agree.
You know, and I'll tell you this much. If you would have pulled me after week 8 when I lost Joe Burrow in the two quarterback league, lost him in the dynasty league, I lost him in the one of the other leagues that I had him in. I had him in the league with the guys from Bonefish that I was in. You know, I lost him in three leagues. I probably would have told you if I make the playoffs in Billy's league with Justin Herbert, I'm going to try to put all my energy into that. You know, and Brock Purdy found a way to keep me fantasy relevant. It helps. And the guys I play baseball with, we make this joke. The 49ers have basically assembled the fucking Avengers. He's found a way to make it work. So you know, obviously I wish that I was playing the two of you in the championship games of the league, so we can have a little bit more fun with this discussion. But I'm not going to pull a Teddy. I'm not going to sit here and be like, I'm coming for your ass. But just know that it's going to be
This is kind of like a full circle moment for us because we go all the way back from last year, you know, when we were playing for third place and we wound up chopping and we were discussing it Sunday. Like, I think we all lost out on money, but it was the right thing to do then. And beginning this year, we even boasted, I think we have the best teams. And here we are fighting to see who has the best team. I mean, you know, and it's pretty fitting that, you know, I wish it was championship too. But just having that moment last year and knowing my team was going to be good and, like, you know, I got a 2-3 year window. You got a 2-3 year window. That's what these dynasty leagues do for you. You know, if you can guess right, make some trades and hold on to some people, get rewarded, man. But it's short, short-lived. You're really playing GM role fucking every year.
I pay $500 a year to try to get the number one pick.
Recently. You've been to playoffs right now, bro, right?
I've made it, but nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. So
I haven't won this either. Mike's won it twice.
You don't know how hard I was rooting at one point in the game last night for DeAndre Swift to fumble.
Yeah.
Because if DeAndre Swift fumbles, me and you don't play. Or no, Blake doesn't reseed, does he?
No. I think Blake does reseed.
If Blake doesn't reseed, then it wouldn't have mattered because the 6 seed almost upset the 3 seed.
Yeah, I saw that.
By like 0.9 or whatever he got by. So, you know, that was one of those where, you know, obviously, you know, we wish that it would have. Oh, that's even worse because we would have been so excited to then fucking get kicked in the dick.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like you said, I think that this is something where, you know, Craig, like he said, made the joke, you know, he pays $500 to try to get the number one overall pick. It's easy whenever you start this league, you get the number one overall pick and you draft Christian McCaffrey and you can kind of just ride that guy for a while. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's been that hard at points because I kind of got gifted a fruit basket the first year that we drafted, or the second year when I had like the second or third pick and he fell to me because someone took Isaiah Crowell.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, thanks, Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, but I mean, for me though, like I don't pay a lot of attention to college, so like I'll just pay attention to whatever guys are coming out, mature, whoever expected, and like, you know, it's my own fault. Like I remember when Jamar Chase came out, and that year, what are you going, like the third, fourth round, or whatever?
Yeah,
you know,
however, had an awful fucking preseason. You couldn't catch a cold.
That's what it was. It was like, no, I'm going to stay away from. So, you know, not paying attention to, you know, little things like, you know, who Justin Jefferson, like I see LSU, they were winning. Okay. Yeah. Whatever. I have names or whatever. I don't follow college all that much. So like, I just got to make a little bit more of an effort to pay a little more attention. Yeah. So I know for me, you know, which guys to take. You know, but I got to hope that, you know, maybe the second year with Ridley in that offense pans out. If Seattle can get
him. Are they going to sign him?
What's that?
Isn't he a free agent? Are they actually going to spend the money on him?
No, they signed him before they traded for him.
Did they?
They gave him a deal. Yeah, he's got a,
he got a contract.
Nothing major, but he got a deal. And if Seattle can get a guy like Cousins to throw to DK, you know?
You're one trade away, you're one fucking, you know, like you said, you get Puka. You go hit this way, you know, what'd you do? Did you draft Christian Watson this year?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that didn't pan out for you.
No, neither did DeAndre Washington. But
it could be Deontay, you know, next year.
Yes, of course. That's why I still got till the end of the year. Personally,
Deontay Johnson draft pick was not good because I don't think Kenny Pickett's a good quarterback. But
yeah.
I think Deontay Johnson – as a player, is a good player. I think he's in a terrible situation with small hands and his quarterback.
On Craig's team, he's his third, fourth option. He's got DK, he's got Ridley, he's got, you know, Watson. So if you're telling me Deontay Johnson's your fourth best wide receiver on your fantasy team, that's not a terrible team.
No, not at all. And the thing is, you know, and Deontay Johnson gets three or four different quarterbacks a year to throw him the ball.
Yep.
You know, that did such great inconsistency. It's terrible.
I was reading something earlier that said Pickett gave up on some plays and a couple blocks that could have been a touchdown. I mean, you know, like you said, you draft a kid like that. He makes that one hand fucking catch. Everybody like Odell falls in love with him, thinks he's the next bet. But like you said, he's catching it from Pickett, man. Good luck. But or whoever else is throwing him the damn ball.
But then again, you're talking about an organization that's not going to go after a free agent. So they're whatever quarterbacks they have going forward, that's what they have. Yeah. So
it's Kenny Pickett, because they're not gonna. He's not going to get benched for Tyler Heinicke if they bring Heinicke in. He's not going to get benched for a Jake Browning. He's their guy, at least for another year or two.
Yep.
Unfortunately, as it sounds, and it sounds really bleak for guys that have Najee Harris and George Pickens and, you know, Deontay Johnson, but that's just not what they're going to do. I look at it as, and going to Seattle, this is another piece of the Russell Wilson trade that is a win. Yes, Geno was a nice stopgap. It worked. It's Drew Lock. It's Drew Lock right now. Drew Lock starts for me the rest of the year. Because for some reason, and I don't know what it is with Geno, the ball coming out of his hand does not look as good as it did last year. I don't know if it's throwing mechanics. I don't know if it's
more. His elbow was hurt.
So that's what I'm saying. Drew Lock is the guy. I even play next year with Drew Lock as my quarterback, because you're not paying him anything more. He's a guy that you got a contract that he came over with in the Russell Wilson trade. You put the assets into re-signing guys, locking guys up into contracts, going and getting guys to help improve that offensive line more, whether it's through the draft or through free agents.
They got their tackles. They got their tackles through that one of the picks from Denver.
Yes. But what I'm saying, Charles Cross. And here's the thing. If you go get a guard, you go get a guard. You don't have to fall in love with having to go draft a quarterback in the teens to get that guy, because that guy's not there. And I don't think – and one of the biggest Kirk Cousins –
he's not better than Drew Lock anyway.
And honestly, one of the worst. One of the biggest Kirk Cousins supporters in the world right here. This guy right here. You like that? I don't think Kirk Cousins makes you that much better than Drew Lock does. I think Drew Lock is a younger version of Kirk Cousins.
But now you see you got three games left. They have an outside shot only because of the fact they've lost two to the Rams. So they're basically three games behind them.
But the problem is
their conference record, they're only one game over 500 in the conference. I think they have a tiebreaker over the Saints. I think right now they're the eight, but if they end up tied with the Rams, they don't get in. And I think if they end up tied with Minnesota, they don't get in.
I don't think Minnesota has a shot of getting into the playoffs.
Not with Mullins.
So I think the reality of the situation,
not with Dobbs either. We tried to tell you that.
I think the Rams end up as the six, and I think you guys end up as the seven, personally.
And I think the Rams are like the Bills. They could be two dangerous teams going into the playoffs.
Yep.
Yeah.
That Rams offense is insane.
That's a team. Yeah. Here you go. And I'm going to be this guy. Send him to Dallas. Send him to Philadelphia in the first fucking round. A little worried. You know, and here, let's have this game. Let them be the sixth seed. Let Matthew John Stafford go back into Ford Field and play as a visitor against the fucking Detroit Lions.
Oh, hell yeah.
Hollywood. Jared Goff against his old squad. Matt Stafford versus his. Let's have a fucking shootout, baby.
And we all know that should be the Monday night playoff game.
1,000%.
But instead, it'll probably be like Dallas. Green Bay because of the history back in the 90s.
No, it'll be
just
Dallas.
Green Bay ain't making it.
It'll be Dallas versus Tampa in the 4-5 game.
Or Minnesota.
Because Tom Brady versus Dak Prescott. Oh, never mind. Tom Brady doesn't play there anymore. Sorry. That's on me. I forgot. It's awful. Fucking awful. So we've talked about some things. Let's pivot. We mentioned the fact that CJ Stroud announced earlier tonight probably not going to play. Case Keenum is the guy there. He played last week. Did not look great. It looks like Nico Collins is going to play this week. God, I'd feel a lot better if CJ Stroud was back. But goddamn,
you might see Aaron Jones slipped in that lineup coming real soon.
Buddy, I have Aaron Jones in Billy's league, and I was looking at it going, man,
this might be the time.
And then I finally talked myself into going with David Montgomery as my second option there against Minnesota, hoping that in a game where if Detroit can get out to a big lead, it may be the Gibbs and Montgomery show in the back half of that game, which I would be all for. I know you have Gibbs, so I'd have to avoid touchdowns and shit like that. But at least I would give myself a fighting chance in Billy's league to counteract this. Tyreek Hill with the ankle. Sat out against the Jets. That offense didn't really miss a beat, but it was also the goddamn Jets.
They didn't need him.
No.
Take the week off. We don't need you.
Yep.
That's all it is. Oh, wait. No, they were down here in Miami. I was thinking they were up in Jersey with the shit field.
Nope. No.
There's absolutely no point.
We're not at East Rutherford at the Who Gives a Shit Dome playing on fucking Who Gives a Fuck grass. This week, though, a game that is important to both Miami and Dallas for multiple reasons. Dallas, this is a must-win game if they want to win the division. Miami, this is a must-win game if they want to keep themselves in the running to potentially get the one seed if Baltimore falters, whom they play the following week.
Right.
In Baltimore.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
This one's in Dallas, though, right?
No, this is in South. No, this is
down here in Miami.
Oh, well, do you know how Dak is on the road, my guy? it's December and he's on the road.
Yeah.
Guys, can I get a good week from Dak? I don't have Dak against either one of you, but Mike has him against me in Vampire.
Oh, I got CD, so I'm team fucking, you know.
I got CD in Billy's league, so trust me.
Let's go shoot out.
Here's where I stand with Dak. You have to stop thinking, like, I get it, this week against Buffalo, quote, measuring stick game. He can't win on the road. He can't do this. He didn't really do anything to lose that game. He didn't throw three interceptions. You know, did they not move the ball? No, they didn't. But they didn't move the ball on all aspects of the game. Tony Pollard didn't run well. The offensive line never really got to push off the ball. And you know, yes, he overthrew Brandon Cooks a couple times. Yes, he overthrew CeeDee Lamb a couple times. Overthrew Jake Ferguson a couple times. He didn't do anything to help, but he did not harm the Dallas Cowboys' opportunity to win this game.
No, and neither I wouldn't say that, you know, Allen played, lights out too. I mean, I think he had 90 yards passing and 70 yards rushing, but those conditions on the road, like that you can't throw for 300 yards in those conditions. But he did not look like an MVP quarterback. That's for damn sure.
No,
he missed a couple. Like we were just talking about last week. It's Dak, it's Purdy, and then you know Tyreek or CMC. Cool, but I think Dak's gone down now. I mean, I think it's Purdy or CMC now.
Right now, according to the Hard Rock Sports betting app, which I'm going to pull up right now on my phone, I believe the current betting line favorite is still Brock Purdy.
With Lamar right behind him.
Lamar is second.
Okay.
I'm going to bring it up right
now. And Christmas night, the MVP is settled.
Everything's settled. That might be a Super Bowl preview. That might be, you know, it might be at all.
Okay. Right now, according to the Hard Rock app, Brock Purdy is minus 200. Lamar Jackson is plus 450.
Mm-hmm.
Dak Prescott plus 650. Josh Allen plus 1,100.
Wow, that came out of nowhere.
Christian McCaffrey plus 1,200.
That's the value.
Jalen Hurts plus 2,000.
Pass.
Patrick LeVon Mahomes II plus 2,250.
No shot.
Tyreek. No shot. Tyreek Hill plus 2250.
If he would have played, there would have been a shot. But I don't think he's got to get like 130 a game to get 2K now, right?
The only other player with odds better than 15,000 is Tua Tagovailoa plus 2500.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Tua has to beat Dallas. He has to go to Baltimore. And he has to beat Buffalo to fucking have a shot.
And if Tyreek don't blow up those games.
No. And he has to do it throwing the ball to Waddle and not allowing Mostert and A-Chain to have all the touchdowns. Like, he's got to go have a 18 of 25 for 365 and three passing touchdowns, two of them to Waddle and one of them to a tight end. Like, Reek can't go out there and have 150, 150, 300. Like, and here's the thing. I said this to Ernest. I said it in the group chat with the Huddle Up guys, talking to them. I said, with Tyreek saying he can't play this week, does this close the door on him being an MVP finalist?
Which not unless he breaks that record.
And that's the thing. It got mixed reactions. And I said, the only way it doesn't close the door is if the guys ahead of him shit the bed this week. Dak Prescott shit the bed. Jalen Hurts didn't look good. The only guys that actually had good games that were ahead of him, Christian McCaffrey, Lamar Jackson.
And Jackson didn't even have that great of a game. It was more rushing than passing.
No, Lamar had an average game at best. At best, an average game. Yeah. And let's talk about this and talking about the MVP. Does anyone want to guess how many more passing yards Lamar Jackson has than Joe Burrow, who hasn't played the last 4 weeks of the regular season?
12.
Probably like, I was going to say maybe 200.
It's 800.
Okay.
In four games, he's averaging 200 yards better than a guy who hasn't picked up a football due to a wrist injury.
Give him all that money guaranteed, though.
Hey, okay. Man. Who's got the better record? I mean, one's MVP, one's not playing.
Yeah. His defense is getting him there, too.
Yeah. Like you said, everything's going to be settled these next couple weeks.
I mean, hold on, though. We talk about an MVP-esque year. He lost 17-10 to the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
He lost 22-19 in overtime to Indianapolis. And he lost by 2 to fucking Cleveland. And the most yards he's thrown for is 316 in a win against the Rams that they won with a punt return.
Yep. Overtime.
Lamar Jackson's offensive passing stat lines. 169 yards, 237 against Cincinnati the first time they played, 202 against Indianapolis, 186 the first time against Cleveland, 236 in the loss to Pittsburgh, 223 to fucking against Tennessee, Detroit 357. I'm sorry, I missed that game. That's on me. I didn't see that one. That's on me. I'll admit it. Arizona plus 157 yards, Seattle 187, Cleveland 223. The Bengals, the second time, 264 in the game that Joe Burrow got hurt in, that they won 34-20. 177 against the Chargers, who just gave up 63 to Aiden O'Connell. But I digress. 16 against the Rams and 171 on the road against Jacksonville. Yeah, he had 97 rushing yards, and that's cute. But if the Jaguars don't have 3/5 of their starting defense out, I think that game goes a little different. What the hell do I know?
Yeah.
You're going to have a true measuring stick for how good Lamar Jackson's odds are of winning the MVP award this year when he goes to Santa Clara.
Yeah.
When he plays a good defense.
Yeah, Miami too.
Yeah. These next 2 weeks, if Lamar Jackson's going to win the MVP, he better go 2-0. And he better do it with both the arm and the legs. The thing is, we all know, sitting here watching Lamar Demetrius Jackson, I've sat here and I've said it as a Bengal fan. He is a athlete playing the position of quarterback. He makes things happen. But I've had this conversation with people. I don't think, and the most valuable player award, the conversation was, how many wins does Lamar Jackson have with the Avengers, with the San Francisco 49ers? I truly feel the Niners with Lamar Jackson and not Brock Purdy is a 500 team. Because I feel Lamar decides, oh, look, I don't want to stand here in the pocket anymore. I just want to run. And you miss big plays that way. And I get it. You know, he makes things happen. But he also can run out of big plays very simply if he would just stay in the pocket and throw the ball.
But you also have the thumbs down with
Christian McCaffrey.
Thumbs down.
You know
what was that, Craig?
A mobile quarterback. You don't need a mobile quarterback with Christian McCaffrey. Some running backs benefit from a guy like that. Like when Seattle had Wilson, Sierra's husband, Marshawn Lynch benefited from a running quarterback because he doesn't catch as much out of the backfield. Whereas McCaffrey, you're throwing 12, 13 times a game. So a guy like Lamar who will just, all right, I'm running, you know, design run here, whatever, read the defense, whatever. You can't take away 6 carries a game from McCaffrey. Hurt you in the long run.
I don't think Lamar Jackson would fit Kyle Shanahan's style of offense.
Yeah.
Because Kyle Shanahan needs to become the guy who get the ball to my athlete's hands and make plays.
Like I said, the perfect counterpoint, Trey Lance. Didn't work.
Didn't work out that well.
Yeah, see you later. Not going to work. Pass.
I saw him filling the footballs in the jugs machine for the Cowboys in the pregame.
In the Salvation Army fucking basket? In the
he was in there ringing the bell.
Here, guys, dollars.
Yeah.
So the C.J. Stroud injury, the obviously the injury with Tyreek, notwithstanding, looking at, I guess, the takeaway that I have from a lot of this season is, if there is a season that injuries themselves have ravished fantasy football more than this year, I would like to have a conversation with someone.
It's been insane. With
quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I mean, we've lost, just reeling them off the head. We didn't have Kyler Murray to start the year due to an injury. Stafford.
Anthony Richardson, Stafford.
Burrow.
Burrow.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers. Daniel Jones.
What's the kid from Cleveland?
I think we're better
with Watson.
I think we're better with Tony Mozzarella than we are fucking.
Yeah, but you can't bench $40 million though.
Can't or shouldn't? There's a difference.
Can't. Shouldn't is, yes, you are right. You shouldn't, but you cannot. You cannot have 25% of your fucking salary cap holding a clipboard for a guy who.
Marinara!
His fucking agent looks like the leprechaun from Notre Dame now.
Oh, Jesus.
Whatever. Look, I get it. It's funny. And listen, I'm Italian, whatever. That's how they make fun of Italians in the world, which is fine. Don't care. But just imagine if he was black. Is he walking around with the Kool-Aid man? I'm just asking a question. Is he holding? Is his agent holding Popeyes every time they show him on TV? You know? Just ask.
Craig, Popeye's a sponsor, man. Don't shout him out like that.
Damn it. Hey. You know what's funny at work last night?
Oh, boy.
Watching hosts. Oh, yeah.
Using opinions of what comes out of the
next. Does anybody I work with watch this?
I don't know. Really? If Jim listens to this, I just want to let it be clear. The views and opinions. Yeah. What's said next?
Do not reflect the host or.
No, this is nothing wrong. There's nothing. That was just funny watching host eat Popeye's fried chicken at the podium last night.
Oh, that's Jesus.
All. Yeah. I'm dealing on 20. I'm just watching one of the kids is just eating a fucking chicken leg at the podium. Like,
is that when you say head set up and just watch him fucking just grease his hands? And
You're just like, oh my god.
Shut up on 20, please.
we're definitely getting a new location. Yeah, sure we are. Popeyes. Yeah, love that chicken from Popeyes. Great sponsor. And see, look, I had you guys panicking. I had you panicking like I was gonna fucking pipe bomb the shit out of you guys.
We were at, we're talking about Popeyes, and then you're like, "Oh, funny story." Listen, I'm like, "No, it's not."
Listen, you guys should know me. You guys should know me well enough that when I tell you, "Oh, wait a second, it's not bad." It's when it comes out like this is when it's bad, because that's the no filter. Hey, I got to tell you something. This is going to be filtered.
I thought about this. It's going to be okay.
So obviously we had the Tyreek Hill, CJ Stroud. Big blow to Baltimore. Keaton Mitchell, he's out the rest of the year, tore an ACL. Yeah. I sent a text as soon as I saw him cut, buckle. There goes his ACL. And someone sent me back like, "Oh no, he probably just twisted his knee." And I'm like, "Nope, his ACL is gone."
Yep.
That thing is just flapping like this.
Buffalo Bills, Micah Hyde, limited practice today. Keep an eye on him. Leonard Floyd, the DN, he is questionable. Kair Elam, ankle, was a full participant. They activated him off of injured reserve. Keep an eye on that. Dalton Kincaid is listed as questionable with a shoulder injury. That could be a Dawson Knox start if Kincaid does not go. So keep an eye on that for your fantasy playoff rosters. Who gives a shit about the Carolina Panthers? No one.
Nobody.
Same with the Chicago Bears. Who gives a shit? Jamar Chase out shoulder. It is
separate. Out.
They're listing it as questionable. I don't see how you play through a separated shoulder.
Yeah.
At least not for a week or two. So I would not be surprised if he misses this week and potentially next week against Kansas City. And I said this again, listening to Huddle Up Proper earlier tonight. This is a must-win game for the Cincinnati Bengals if they want to have a shot at making the playoffs, because they finish with Kansas City, and then they have Cleveland. The only thing that we could be hoping for is that Cleveland has clinched the 5 seed by then, and maybe they decide to rest their guys in Week 18. But knowing that it's an AFC North game, I don't think they let off the gas. I think they'll try to kick our ass either way, so let's not have to win both games to have a shot. Chase Brown has been a great play the last couple weeks. He dinged up his sternum in that game, got knocked out of that game with a sternum injury. Joe Mixon scored a late touchdown for them. If Brown plays, I think he's a nice option in the flex route, because it does seem like they're trying to get the ball into his hands and out of Jake Brown's hands faster. So I don't hate that one. Let's see. Nothing from the Cleveland Browns perspective. Nothing really happening there. Dallas, Zach Martin, their starting guard, had a quadriceps injury, was ruled out for the rest of the game against Buffalo. No real update on him as of yet. Keep an eye on that situation. I mean, I think you're launching every Dallas Cowboy that you have, but knowing that they're missing an all-pro guard, if you have an option, if somehow you have a better option than Tony P, maybe you think about it, just because if Zach Martin doesn't play, because I think this game is going to be an offensive shootout. I don't know how much it's going to affect them running the ball. Nothing again with Detroit. Nothing new there with the injury report. Christian Watson, questionable. I don't know if he plays. A.J. Dillon, questionable. This whole fucking team is weird, because Jair may not play. Darnell Savage may not play. It's all weird. C.J. Stroud, like we mentioned with Houston. Nico Collins talked about. Both of them are questionable. They're saying that Stroud is not going to play, according to Adam Schefter. I expect Nico to play.
Yeah, me too.
It's just, do you launch him with Case Keenum?
No.
I lean towards no, but if you don't have a better option, I think he will be Case Keenum's favorite target, because I think he'll be more than Noah Brown or whoever the fuck else they have playing wide receiver now that Tank Dell's also out.
Schultz will probably get some more looks too.
True. Jonathan Taylor technically is questionable. Same with Zach Moss, who injured his shoulder in the game against Atlanta. Michael Pittman is, I'm sorry, in the game against Pittsburgh.
He's questionable
for the game against Atlanta this week. Head coach Sean Steichen confirmed Sunday in his postgame, in his press conference the day after, that Michael Pittman is in concussion protocol, but is, quote, doing good and will be monitored throughout the week leading up to their game against the Falcons. If they can somehow get him cleared, I think you have to launch him because this is a must-win game for the Indianapolis Colts.
And he's a fucking target monster.
1,000%. The injuries are forefront for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Trevor Lawrence is in concussion protocol. Watch that. See if he gets cleared. He also was having an ankle, the ankle problem from the high ankle sprain. So that's something else you got to look out for. Zay Jones had to exit with a hamstring injury. Hamstrings suck. Those are normally multiple week things, which means the only healthy receiver on their roster this week will probably be Calvin Ridley. So look for them to run the ball 78,000 times this week. Sorry, Craig. This is what they do. I don't know. It's weird.
ETN, let's go.
Yeah. Kansas City, I guarantee you that Patrick Mahomes wishes he could shoot Kadarius Toney and put him on injured reserve, but he's somehow going to still be in a uniform for this week's game. Isaiah Pacheco, questionable. Andy Reid says leaning towards him being a go this week, which will hurt the carries for both Clyde Edwards-Helaire and the points for Jerick McKinnon. So keep an eye on that. Josh Jacobs technically is questionable, looking like he is probably going to play this week. I don't know why. And if you're Vegas, I don't know what we're doing here. I don't know why we're trying to make Josh Jacobs play when we're a four-win team as it is. But yep. I'm so not going to get in Antonio Pierce's way because he could probably murder me.
Yep.
Chargers, that's a dumpster fire. Thank God Brandon Staley's fired.
Should have done it at halftime.
They should have done it midway through the first quarter. They should have just somebody walk down, take his fucking headphones off, and be like, door.
Tap him on the shoulder.
Yeah. Hey.
Owner needs to see you.
Hey, time to push. You need to go, you should go to the floor down. And when you get pushed, you go see them in the manager's office.
Yep.
Because fucking dog water. Keenan Allen did not practice. Even if he did practice, I don't know that I want to start him with Easton Stick at quarterback because that offense looks like trash.
Yeah.
I kind of almost don't want to start Austin Eckler this week because that's how bad that offense looks.
But you kind of have to.
I have to because I know he's going to get like potentially 12 points because he only got 9 last week in a 63-point loss. So bad. He was so bad. The Rams, nothing new there. Obviously, the Dolphins, we talked about Tyreek Hill. They have some issues in the secondary. Javon Holland, Xavien Howard, Deshaun Elliott, and Cam Smith all hurt at some point in the game against the Jets.
Shucks. Let's go, Dak.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Let's go, CDs.
It could be a big one. Let's go, Brandon.
All three of us.
Cooks.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go, Brandon Cooks. Fuck it. Let's go. Minnesota. Are we off the Alexander Mattison as a good NFL running back train?
We should be.
Because I think Ty Chandler took that job.
Period. Yep.
All right. I'm just asking because I remember in the talks, and I was probably one of them when the season started, that I thought Alexander Mattison would have been a top 10 NFL running back this year. And goddamn, was I wrong.
Me too.
We get them wrong too. Jesus. We get them wrong too.
Be wrong. New England, if you're starting Ramondre Stevenson, sorry. If you're starting Juju for some reason, I apologize. The rest of that team is on fire. New Orleans Saints, Olave was a limited practice today for the Thursday night game. He could play. He could not. We'll see. Same with Keandre Miller. God, that team's a dumpster fire, too, with all their injuries. Nobody cares about the Giants. The Jets have been officially eliminated from
next year's playoffs.
From the playoffs.
Next year's playoffs.
Yeah. On today's episode of the Pat McAfee Show, Aaron Rodgers said on Tuesday it is unlikely he'll be activated from injury reserve this week, which would end his 2023 season. Shocker there. I'm so surprised. Yeah. Playoffs are done. So is he. I don't know why we are actually having a fucking conversation about him coming back, because brother smoked some good ayahuasca, but whatever. Is Darius Slay going to play another game for you guys this regular season?
I don't think for that team.
I mean, you guys could really use him.
I don't know. He's getting fucking burnt before he, whatever, you know, his surgery. So our corners are terrible. That defensive line's getting no pressure. We had one sack last night. That was it. I mean, last year we had 70 sacks. Completely different defense.
Did you guys change your defensive coordinators?
Yeah, Patricia. Well, he was on the sideline. Yeah, he had the pencil. He had the pencil in the air and everything.
What is, he had a pencil for his laminated.
Exactly. Waffle House menu.
Yeah, there's another one. Needs a Waffle House for sure. Do not play again with chicken fingers.
Don't want my waffles smothered and covered.
Right.
Pittsburgh Steelers are another team looking at their injury report. Good Lord. Minkah Fitzpatrick did not participate in Tuesday's practice. Is already being ruled out for Saturday against Cincinnati. Their other safety, Trenton Thompson, neck injury, did not participate in Tuesday's practice. Pat Freiermuth is questionable with a knee injury. Najee Harris is questionable with a knee injury. Small Hands Pickett with an ankle. We're looking at Mason Crosby because we benched fucking Mitchell Trubisky. That team, Jesus Christ. The San Francisco 49ers. They got some guys hurt, but does it really matter? Because it's not one of the Avengers.
Start them.
It's just none of the guys that are hurt are any members of the Avengers. I don't think it matters. For the Seattle Seahawks, Devin Witherspoon and Jamal Adams, both questionable. Obviously, they did a light walkthrough today. Tampa Bay, none of the guys that you would actually consider sitting are on the injury report. Will Levis for the Titans, ankle. They're concerned about the injury, and they're comparing it to the one that Ryan Tannehill suffered last season. Keep an eye if you're someone who's starting Will Levis in a meaningful football game this week, if you're in a two-quarterback league or something like that. Keep an eye on that situation, because if he does not play, you have to go out on the waiver wire and pick up somebody like a Ryan Tannehill if they go back to him. Because I don't think they're going back to Malik Hooker at this point, right?
Nah, just let Tannehill finish the season.
Yeah, he earned it.
For the Commodores, Brian Robinson is the only guy that you may actually consider starting who is on the injury report. McLaren and Dotson both got through the Rams game healthy. So if you have to start either one of them, you're in a decent spot, because I feel like they're going to be behind in this game. So they're probably going to be throwing the ball a lot. So they might be full sends. That's basically the injury report for the last, I'm going to say meaningful week, because there is championship week next week. Is there, and as we look forward into next season, as we're coming to the end of the FKC Fantasy Hour for the year 2023. Is there a guy, and Craig mentioned this, he doesn't watch a lot of college football, so it's something he needs to do a better job for himself. Obviously, the popular name is Marvin Harrison Jr. But Marvin Harrison Jr. can go back to school. Is there a guy, and there's a name that I'm that sticks out to me, and I believe he's a super senior, and I believe he has to come out this year, that if Marvin Harrison goes back to school, that depending on where he goes, could be a guy that teams are going to want to draft in fantasy. And that's my kid from the University of Washington. It's Rumadunze. The season that kid's had with Michael Penix. I don't know that. Yeah, you know, and if you're a team, you know, Michael Penix, pair him up with Rome Dunze in the NFL, and let those kids fucking keep going. If you have two picks and you can make it work, I'm okay with it, because those guys had chemistry of Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase past. Is what that really felt like.
Yeah. And the running back was solid there too. What's his name? The kid from Washington.
Looking it up right now.
Yeah, he had a decent season. You pair them all up, dude. Run it back. That's what Philly tried with Georgia, you know.
That would be Dylan Johnson, 201 carries, 1,113 yards, 14 touchdowns. Michael Penix Jr., 4,218 yards, 33 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Jesus. Ruma Dunze, 81 catches, 1,428 of those yards, and 13 of Michael Penix's 33 passing touchdowns. I'll tell you this much. There's a world, and I said it in the chat with the guys that I play baseball with. There's a world where I'm looking at the final couple games in the Cincinnati Bengal career of T. Higgins. Someone's going to pay him a shit ton of money next year. I'm looking at the Kansas City Chiefs as a team that's probably going to be the team that does it.
Mm-hmm.
If you tell me that the Cincinnati Bengals somehow move up and draft a guy like Ruma Dunze to put on the other side of Ja'Marr Chase, I'm okay. I don't hate as much as losing T. Higgins and not getting anything back for it. Because that's the thing that if Joe would have gotten hurt a couple weeks sooner, I would have been okay with them trading T. Higgins and trying to get something back for him to a team like Kansas City, because you probably could have gotten a lot back for him, especially with as bad as they are at wide receiver right now. I'm looking at the Walter Football mock draft. Right now, the number one overall pick, according to them, is Caleb Williams. Going to Chicago.
Yep.
If you're the Chicago Bears, and I'm going to give you guys two options. I'm going to give you option A, I'm going to give you option B, and I want you guys to be the general managers. I want you guys to tell me what you do. Justin Fields, you get a phone call. We'll offer you a second this year and a third the following year for Justin Fields. And Caleb Williams has declared for the draft, and you know you got Caleb Williams. And you go, well, you know what? Give me a few minutes. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to call you back. Click. Right before you make that phone call, you get a phone call. I'll offer you my next three first-round draft picks for number one overall. Do you trade the number one overall pick, or do you trade Justin Fields?
The pick. He's building chemistry with DJ Moore. It's their first year.
Yep.
If you get rid of him, now you have to rebuild all that chemistry over with your offense. My only thing is I'm not a fan of the under 6 foot quarterbacks. I'm not a fan of these guys who run a lot because ultimately they have to stop. So they were talking about him today. Like, I know that's been a topic that people have been talking about, you know, about the Bears. I say you keep them and you trade that number one pick and you get the world and you bring in all the right pieces you need. Get a consistent, they have no consistent run game. You know, that's going to hurt him a little bit. Get a consistent run game. Do you maybe use one of those draft picks and get Derrick Henry? Bring in a guy like Derrick Henry for that team?
I don't know that Derrick Henry cost you a first round draft pick.
No. I'm not saying he will, but what I'm saying is you're going to stockpile anyway.
Oh, okay. All right.
You have other picks you can trade.
I thought about
maybe find the right piece on the other side. You have your tight end in Kmet. You have your number one receiver. Mooney isn't working. You need a complement for DJ Moore. So they have that chemistry already. You have to start that all over with a new quarterback, new style of offense. But their defense is playing better as of late. I say trade the pick. Get as many picks as you can. And you still have, what, the 6 or the 7 pick?
Right now it's 5.
You're still going to get a beast at 5.
Yeah.
You know.
And one of these teams moving up is obviously not, you know, they're not 500 or better. They're probably, you know, a team that needs a quarterback but can't get them at 7, 8, 9, 10. So they jump up. That team is either going to be really bad or really good. And if you got 3 years of really bad fucking, you know, look at Carolina. Perfect example.
So
they're fucked.
They're fucked.
Yeah. So looking,
that's why I'd rather be on the other side of that deal.
But looking at the teams that pick behind Chicago right now.
Yeah.
Number two right now, the New England Patriots. They're projected to take Drake May, the quarterback. Drake May,
so it don't matter. They'll be fine with that.
Right now, Arizona is at three. They're projected to take Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yep. So they don't, they're good.
Number four is the first team that I think that you could get an interesting conversation out of. It's the Washington Commanders.
Yep.
Eric Bieniemy probably going to take over as the head coach there. Wants a quarterback that's going to run his offense. What better way to do it than trade up three spots and go get you a guy? And here's the thing. I get it. They got Sam Howell. Sam Howell is not the answer.
But nope, Caleb
Williams in an offense with Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson, Brian Robinson Jr. You don't want to punt the future of draft picks. But if the future of the draft picks leads you to Caleb Williams, which a lot of draft experts, I'm not someone that's sitting here and saying that he is the second coming of Patrick Mahomes. Let me be very honest with you.
I've heard it too.
I think he's a good quarterback. I don't think he's that level.
They're just talking about the arm angles and the way he throws and shit. I don't think he's that guy.
I don't either. Then it's obviously their own pick where they have right now a DN from UCLA. I couldn't say his name if my life depended on it. The next pick that gets interesting is the six, which is the Raiders. They're projected right now to take Jaden Daniels, the Heisman winning trophy winner out of LSU. That's an interesting name.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. If you're Chicago, do you ask for the world? I'll trade you one, but I want six. I want a pick next year, and I want Max Crosby.
Why not?
Yeah, but I don't. A guy like Max Crosby, they're not going to give up. I understand what you're saying. Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, but I don't see. I don't see them blowing up, you know, the best part of their defense.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe you go give them Devontae fucking Adams.
but if it saves you a draft pick,
sure.
Because you may not sign Max Crosby because Max Crosby may be sick and tired of losing by the time he becomes a free agent. He'll take his talents elsewhere. The seven is the Jets. Obviously, they're not in the market for a quarterback, at least for the next year, because of Aaron Trump.
I don't think they have draft picks for it anyway.
The Giants at eight, $40 million to Daniel Jones. We'll just go ahead and move on to them. Tennessee has Will Levis right now. They have the nine currently. They're not going anywhere. Same with the Chargers at 10. They have Justin Herbert. They're not in the quarterback fucking landscape. The next team that has a quarterback conversation is the team that is projected to take a quarterback at number 11. That is the Atlanta Falcons, who right now are projected
to take. I was just going to say, what if the Falcons go the other way and say, we'll take Justin Fields too? You put Justin Fields on that team.
That's where it gets interesting.
Because I can see it going the other way there.
I mean, I look at it from this standpoint, you know, I know you're not a fan of it, Craig, but you're the Seattle Seahawks.
They've been mentioned too.
You don't really know what Geno Smith's going to do.
No, Geno's, like I said, Geno's a stopgap.
He's always a stopgap. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the conversation with Justin Fields being an option. I get it. He's a mobile quarterback.
I don't want.
But it
I don't works listen. With no, Seattle. You know the style of the running backs, not the running back, the receivers we have, we need the pocket passer. The 2-3-step drop, just get the ball to these guys. You don't need a guy running around. Look, Drew Lock, what did he do? Couple of steps, get rid of the ball. Just get rid of the ball. It's very simple. That's why I said earlier, I would love to see them try to go after Kirk Cousins. That's the style quarterback they need.
That's another stopgap, like Mike said.
Well, but you draft. You
eventually got to take one, Craig. Which one?
But you're going to get. Well,
what did you trade Russell Wilson for? To get a better quarterback.
Yeah, but also we rebuilt the whole team. with what we got from him.
You got to start with the most important position sooner or later.
Yes. I look at it. And I guess, you know, they'll probably, you know, like you said earlier, they'll probably stick with Drew for the rest of the season. If he gets into the playoffs, he won himself a job into next season. I think they can walk away from Geno's money, you know, which is no big deal. But you still have to draft somebody this year. And that, which is why I said earlier, I'd rather see them not make the playoffs so that maybe they're in line to get that kid from Washington. Not Bo Nix, the other kid, not the one from Oregon.
Michael Penix Jr.
Yes.
Michael Penix Jr. We're just talking about him.
Buddy,
I always forget his name.
I think you get him at 15. I just went through the top 11, he's nowhere to be found.
Yeah, we just mentioned five teams that don't need a quarterback except for Atlanta.
Yeah. Let's see. So we had Atlanta with McCarthy. The Saints, they're sticking with Derek Carr. You guys right now at 13. Behind you, the Rams are at 14. They're not taking a quarterback. No. Denver is taking a quarterback. They have Russell Wilson, plus they're behind you. Arizona, Cooper DeJean, they're not taking one. I mean, honestly, you could trade back into the first round and potentially get Michael Penix Jr. at 20, 22. I'm looking right now, just trying to figure out where his name is on this board. According to Walter Football, he is not projected to go until Roma Dunze going to the Kansas City Chiefs at 25. Yeah, let him fall there and see how good he is with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. Wild.
Hold on one second.
Magnum is letting people know.
Dude, somebody's honking.
Yeah,
somebody parked in my spot, bitch.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's not what he's barking at. I have the patio door. I have the patio door open. Fucking. What do you think you heard, man? It's the Wild Wild West.
Oh.
It's the Wild Wild West.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I just heard like 7 or 8 gunshots.
They shooting out there.
So at 53, the Minnesota Vikings take Bo Nix.
That's the kid from Oregon, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's correct.
So I am at the 63rd.
This is also December of this year and not April, right, to where everything changes.
But what I'm telling you is how many – there aren't a lot of quarterbacks that move up 3 rounds in projections, whether they're
– Daniel Jones.
That's also because they're GMs. More on that later. What I say here when it comes to the quarter, like for you guys, moving up to get a guy makes sense, okay? It's Drew Lock, and you know the guy that I would draft is the guy that Atlanta's projected to take right now. It's J.J. McCarthy. He is the prototypical 3-5-step drop, get the ball out of his hands and get it into whoever's hands.
Kid from Michigan.
Yes.
Okay.
It's kind of the offense that Harbaugh runs at Michigan.
Yep.
Get it out of his hands. Let my playmakers make plays. So to me, he fits what you want from your quarterback in Seattle. Yes, I think Michael Penix fits the role of hometown kid going back and playing at the bigger stadium, and it's going to get all the Washington fans behind him. It's like Kenny Pickett, like it playing at Pittsburgh and then now playing for the Steelers. You know, it's easy to root for him. I think it's easy to root for Michael Penix if you're a Seattle guy. But I don't know that a left-handed quarterback who has some of those tendencies to run out of the pocket to make plays happen fits the offense that you want to run in Seattle.
Okay.
So I personally – if you trade down to the teens and you can get a second or a third round draft pick with it, and you take a J.J. McCarthy to learn the Pete Carroll offense behind Drew Lock, and even if you keep Geno for one more year in case Drew gets hurt, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
But you know, there's gonna come a time, and you know, I've lived this now with having to have a good backup quarterback, because you lose your starter and you don't have a good backup, you're in trouble. You know, the Bengals are only in playoff contention because of what Jake Browning has done.
Mm-hmm.
Philadelphia, it's Mariota still, right? He's ran a pro offense. You know, is he Jalen Hurts? No. Is he going to run the brotherly shove? No. Is he going to get the job done? Probably.
Yeah.
You know, Drew Lock, same example. He's not Patrick Mahomes. We've proven that. But, like, he can go out there and throw for 285 and two touchdowns and no picks and give your team a chance. But this really feels like the first draft in a long time. There's two teams that need quarterbacks. That's it. It doesn't feel like there's a lot of teams that are going, I have to draft a quarterback number one overall. I have to go get this guy. The Chicago doesn't have to go get Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams is a potential, you know, perk to the job. They don't have to go get him. New England needs a quarterback. Washington needs a quarterback. Those are two organizations that are in dire need to upgrade at the quarterback position. That really feels like it's it. Sure, could Atlanta use an upgrade over Desmond Ridder and Taylor Heineke? Absolutely. But you're not trading up nine spots to do it. You're not mortgaging the farm knowing you got Drake May, knowing you got J.J. McCarthy, knowing you can wait to the second round to draft Bo Nix. Same with fucking Michael Penix Jr. Jaden Daniels is going to be there.
Travis Hunter. You know, this guy's there.
The teams in the top five picks, there's two of them that need quarterbacks. Because even if Houston would have kept their pick and not traded to Chicago, they got their guy in C.J. Stroud. You know, or whose pick is Chicago's second pick? Is it Houston? Because I don't think it would be Houston, because I think Houston would be further down because of their record. Whose pick do they have?
Whose pick does who have?
Chicago.
Carolina.
They have Carolina. They have
Carolina, which is the number one.
And their own. Okay, so
their own is the five of the six.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Carolina, it doesn't need a quarterback. They got their guy. Do I think I don't think he's a great quarterback, but he's their guy. Whatever. The Giants, they're paying too much money. Dak's not going anywhere. Philly's got Jalen Hurts. That's the East. The North, Jared Goff. Minnesota could probably use one because you're moving on from Kirk Cousins. But are they moving up 8 or 10 spots when, like I said, McCarthy, Penix, Daniels, Hunter, Nix are all there. Green Bay is what's Love got to do with it? Chicago, Justin Fields, maybe Caleb Williams, who knows? The West, you want an upgrade over Geno Smith. I get it. If it's Drew Lock, if it's somebody else, if it's Kirk Cousins, there's free agent options in play for you guys, and you can also draft somebody later in the second round. San Francisco, Brock Purdy. Arizona, paid all that money to Kyler Williams. You're not going anywhere. The Rams, Matt Stafford. That's the NFC. There's two teams that I've mentioned that really – or no, I'm sorry. Then you go to the South. Carolina's got their guy. Desmond Ridder's dog water, that's three. The Saints paid Derek Carr. They're going to fucking let it ride out. And Baker Mayfield's probably going to fucking make the playoffs. So he's going to get a job going into next year. Three teams in the NFC. Yeah. AFC, you paid Deshaun all that guaranteed money. You're not moving on. Kenny Pickett's dog water, but you're not moving on from him. Lamar Jackson is Lamar Jackson. Joe Burrow is Joe Burrow. Josh Allen, Tua Tagovailoa, Aaron Rodgers, drafting a quarterback. So that's four. C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson, Will Levis, and who's the fourth team in that division?
The girl with the long hair.
Oh, Umbop.
Umbop. Hanson.
Yep. And then out west, the Raiders. So that's five. Yeah. I'm gonna draft. So you have five teams that
need
in the conversation for needing an upgrade at quarterback.
Yep. I think that's valid.
In reality, because Denver obviously with Russell Wilson, Chiefs with Patrick LeVon.
But now let's look at it this way. Will a team like the Raiders be willing to give up 3 years of future for Caleb Williams? No.
But are they willing to give up a year or two and Max Crosby for Caleb Williams? Possibly.
or Devontae Adams. They're probably more willing to give up on Devontae Adams than they are Max Crosby.
If they're moving up to one and only giving up two draft picks, they have to include Devontae Adams.
So now are you potentially looking at now Chicago going forward with Devontae Adams, DJ Moore, and what's his name? Shortly quarterback, Justin Fields.
Justin Fields, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I'll take that.
Like you said, New England is not, they're not going anywhere. They got the tip. They're getting heads or tails. It doesn't matter to them.
Drake May fits Bill Belichick's offense more, but I don't know that Bill Belichick's going to be that.
Exactly. Of course. But what I'm saying is now you're eliminating two teams. So, you're eliminating New England from the conversation of trading up to one. Which of those four remaining teams are going to be willing to give up that much to move up? You know, and if it doesn't happen and you're the Bears and for some reason nobody wants, do you just take Harrison overall number one right there?
I think you kind of have to.
I know you don't want to use the number one pick on a wide receiver who is, I might go back, you know.
If I am the Chicago Bears and Caleb Williams decides to come out, I'm trading the draft pick no matter what I get back for it. I might tell you that the value is four first-round draft picks, and you might call me fucking insane and offer me two of them in Devontae Adams, and I might say sold before you finish the word Adams.
Okay. And pancakes. Yes.
Correct. Because at this point, Devontae Adams and draft picks is better than Marvin Harrison hoping that he is the second coming of his defense. Because at this point, I'm playing the what-if game. I am getting a proven commodity in Devontae Adams, and I'm falling back, what, five or six picks? Because you're going to get their first rounder this year and probably one either next year or the following year. So the reality of the situation is you're getting the seven or eight, which means you can still take an offensive lineman at that point, and you're telling me that your draft class is the DN from UCLA at four or five, an offensive lineman at eight, and you add Devontae Adams to that team, I think you come out of that draft looking like you know what the fuck you're doing.
All right. Well, Devontae Adams, just so we know, ooh, there's a little one. Devontae Adams is going to be 31 on Christmas Eve. So you look at it this way. You're getting a wide receiver with a four-year window, maybe 35 years old. Yeah. You know? Or do you take the 21-year-old who with unlimited potential and see that's where it makes it tough. If Devontae Adams is 27 years old, yeah. But a 31-year-old, which now let's not, you know, he hasn't had any major injuries, you know, but you're still getting an aging player.
But do you reach for the wide receiver at one when there's more value in the draft picks that you're getting later on?
Yeah, but it all depends if you get those draft picks.
Well, I'm saying that's what if you get eight, a pick, the number one pick next year, and Devontae Adams for Caleb Williams, I think your best shot if you're the Chicago Bears is to take that trade. Because Detroit has proven the best team in that division. If you add Devontae Adams to the Bears and you go do a little work on the defense in free agency, beat that division.
Yeah. But then now here's the thing. You make that trade, okay, you just improved your offense. What are there any stud corners coming out or DNs like that you would think that they would take?
The kid from UCLA that they're taking at five.
Okay.
He's a defensive lineman. He's probably the first defensive player taken off the board. He probably makes a ton of sense there.
Oh, that's right.
Kool-Aid. Actually, Craig, there's a corner named Kool-Aid that's, I think, number one, right? Alabama?
He is projected to go early second round right now.
Oh, okay. Kool-Aid. Who's the best corner coming out?
Hold on. Let me look.
Yeah, because if you do that right there, you get Adams at the one. You have your five, and then you have their eight. And if you get two studs on defense, I mean, you just greatly improved. Yeah.
You just added four fucking starters on your, you know, day one.
The number one corner available. So, again, right now, projected at the five, which is their own pick, is Laiatu Leitao, the DN out of UCLA. And they still have Montez Sweat. Let's not forget about that. They traded for him.
Yeah, pair them both up.
So that's pretty good. Best corner is the one projected to go number 10 right now. Nate Wiggins, the corner out of Clemson. Tall corner with plus athleticism and quickness. He is the number one corner.
Right.
Then there's
corner.
Yep. There's Cooper DeJean, the safety corner from Iowa. He's another one that could be in play, but he's projected like 17 to 20 ish. So probably not reaching for him there at that point. But with a team like, you know, Chicago, maybe if you build a little bit better of an offensive line, maybe you take a guy from the D on with one of them and maybe an offensive lineman. If there's somebody there, sure. That also makes sense.
Devontae Adams, this year, base salary, $6 million. Signing bonus, $3.8 million. Next year, he's on the books for $17 million with a $3.85 million signing bonus.
Okay.
2025 and 2026, each year, $35.64 million year.
Never mind.
See, that's where this – because now you got to reconstruct all of that.
Oh yeah.
You're paying this guy you're paying him $70 million over the like 2 years of his deal.
He's at 33 and 34.
Yeah. So you're not going after Devontae Adams.
Yes.
So Raiders.
No, I'll pay Devontae Adams. No, I'll pay Devontae Adams, but you had to give
for
me that
1 year.
You gotta pay me that third first round draft pick to take the contract.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to do it? Let's do it. But you're going to have to give me more to take it.
Sure.
That's kind of what
I'm... Yeah. They're hosting the Super Bowl this year.
You make me feel...
Do you have any idea what kind of shit show that's going to fucking be?
So glad that I'm not going to be out there for that. Oh, I'm so glad. That's fucking brutal. It's bad enough whenever the fucking F1 races are there. I can only imagine how bad it's going to be when the fucking Super Bowl's there.
Yeah.
Ooh, let's play a game real quick before we go, and we'll wrap it up with this. I'm going to go on booking.com. I'm going to look up Vegas hotels the weekend of the Super Bowl.
Over-under?
Yeah, we're going to play over-under fucking how much is it going to cost.
Standard room?
hold on, let's go. What is the Super Bowl on the 11th?
I believe so, yeah.
All right, so we're going to do Thursday the 8th through Monday the 12th on booking.com. One adult in one room. We're going to start with this one. It is at the Stratosphere, the Strat. It is an elevated one king, newly renovated room for four nights. Double room. Okay, it's double room. I'm sorry. Double room. Bed type assigned at check-in. $1,090 plus $306 in taxes and fees.
Sure.
Four nights at the Bellagio. Anyone want to take a guess?
$10,000.
Hold on. $5,200 for the weekend?
For four nights.
Yeah, that's cheap.
Let's see. There's got to be a fucking gnarly one here that we can end with that makes a mix. Oh, you can stay at some fucking hole in the wall for fucking $900.
Jesus.
Let's see. Where's the Hilton at? I saw a Hilton. Hilton Club Elra, wherever the fuck that is. You don't know. I'm trying to find like one of the fucking. I think a lot of them.
Nothing big.
I think a lot of them are already sold out.
That's probably the, yeah.
I mean, the reality of the situation is they've known the Super Bowl is going to be there for 2 years, so probably fucking stupid. Oh, here we go. Nope, that's never mind. That's way too much pass. Yeah. So you're looking at like anywhere. I'm averaging like MGM signature upgrade. One bedroom, two bath suite with a balcony for four nights, $10,000.
Yeah, that's what I figured something like that would go for.
MGM Grand, $2,500. I mean, literally, some of these are just like, I'm looking at like a La Quinta Inn in North Las Vegas for $1,500. Like, jeez. Literally, like, you don't even fucking. You're staying at a fucking La Quinta Inn for $1,500.
Doesn't the whole La Quinta Inn cost $1,500?
Probably.
I own this now.
I'll take them all. Give me every room.
Oh shit. All right, before we go, we'll wrap up this week. We'll probably do a championship episode next week. But let's talk. Is there anybody? Obviously, I don't think there's anybody on anybody's waiver wires. They're going to be a game changer. Give me a guy that you feel, if you have him on your roster, that people may be on the fence on that you say to start. You know, I'm going to sit here. The first name that's going to come to my mind, he had a real shit game in the 63 to whatever fucking loss. It's Austin Eckler. They're going to have to get the ball out of Easton Stick's hand faster. He's going to have more carries. Him and Josh Kelly are going to have to run the ball a lot and be effective for them to have a shot to win football games down the stretch. New coach, new offense. You know, I get it. It's playoff weekend. And there's a lot of people that were on the fence about starting Austin Eckler this week because of how bad it was last week. I think you got to start him. I think you drafted him in the first round or early in the second round. If you made it this far with him, I think you got to ride him off into the sunset. Because I don't necessarily know that there's anything that you can start above him that's going to potentially get you more than him. So Eckler's my guy this week. Craig?
I'm going to go with Stephon Diggs. Who, as I'm looking over since week 10 versus Denver, he's had one game in double digits with 19.4 points.
Yep.
He has had dog shit numbers,
yep.
But they have played Denver, the Jets, Kansas City, and Dallas. All defenses that you have a shit ton of problems with, you know, for your receivers. This week they have the Clippers. My man is going to eat. He's been, you know, like I said, he's just, his numbers have not been there. The targets have been there. You know, he's getting his targets, but, you know, defenses are playing him tough. And, you know, you're not going to bench him. Same thing with Eckler. You're not benching him. But it's like, oh, he's just had dog shit for numbers recently. That's who I'm going to go with.
Ryan?
I think I got to go with my guy, Nico, man, just because we've been riding him so hard. It was funny, you know, Todd, my partner in Dynasty, you know, he's like, that's the type of guy who could win you a league. And, you know, one of those guys you could just plug in, a Tank Dell, a Nico, where you grabbed him and you're getting 20, 30 balls out of him. And now, you know, he's coming back and it would just be nice to see him come back. I know. You know, CJ not being there is probably going to hurt him a lot. But, you know, if that's your fourth option in a, you know, double flex or something like that, I mean, somebody's got to catch it. Might as well be him.
For sure. All right. that's the show for this week, guys. We appreciate you as always. If you haven't already, please like, subscribe, thumbs up. Follow the show, Huddle Up Incorporated. Follow the Huddle Up Incorporated stuff over Huddle Up Inc. I believe it's just Huddle Up Pod on Instagram and on Twitter. You can find the link tree in Jim's Twitter account at Big Jim Sports. Follow that stuff. If you're looking for a cool Christmas present or a late Christmas present that you can get delivered at some point, go over to the store, tpublic.com. That link is also in the link tree on Jim's Twitter. Other than that, guys, from all of us here at FKC Fantasy Hour and at Huddle Up Incorporated, we wish you all a very Merry Christmas and a Happy Hanukkah.
Good luck, boys.
Be back next week to recap our matchups and who is left playing for a championship. Gentlemen, good luck this weekend. I hope, Craig, that we meet in Billy's finals.
I'm on to Sean Rems.
I'm on to Billy Horn. Until next week, guys.
I'm also on to Connor.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I'm also on to this guy.
Yeah, in a vampire. It's all really full circle in this fucking episode.
One week at a time, boys. Until next week, we are the Fat Kids. We will be here to talk about fantasy football. And on next week's show, we will talk about the 8-team Dynasty League.
Yes, sir.
So we will have a fun episode. We're going to talk about what we're going to do. Also, might throw something out to the listeners. More on that next week. We'll leave it with a tease. Right here on the FKC Fantasy Hour. Later, everybody.
Later.
Okay, bye.